Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
Hello, and welcome to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser, and I am so happy to be with you today. I was traveling last weekend to San Diego and got to see Lisa Nichols at Speak and Write to Make Millions. It was a 3-day intensive workshop in San Diego with Lisa. She was my guest on May 3rd. And if you don't know who she is, check her out at motivatingthemasses.com. It was a phenomenal training. And happy to be back in the studio. I had some technical glitches this morning, which you know it. Everything that could go wrong goes wrong. But you persevere and you make it happen. And my guest today is a lovely person I've met recently. Her name is Barry Lynn. She's known as the Cheese Impresario. I'm probably saying that wrong, and I'm sure she'll correct me. But she's a former advertising executive who changed her life to follow her passion for artisanal cheeses. And she has worked with many celebrities, has worked in Hollywood, has quite the interesting background. We have a lot to talk about. She has basically started her life over, changed states, and built a business based on her passion. So welcome to the show, Barry. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you, Brenda. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, thank you for your patience. I had so many technical difficulties this morning. Not sure if it was the storm systems that have been brewing around the Midwest or what have you, but it was down to the wire. So thank you for sticking it out with us and being here on the show and making time, because I know you've been very busy doing lots of media interviews around the country, and probably your background has helped you navigate that landscape. How's that been going? What other radio shows have you been on recently?
Well, let's see. I'm really a constant guest on many radio shows, and I'm a guest blogger. I have columns going and TV when I'm traveling. But my next event is coming up. I'm going to be for the 8th year, ever since the very beginning of this festival. I'm going to teach my artisanal cheese and wine pairing adventure seminars at LA Wine Fest. And LA Wine Fest has now grown. It wasn't. It was pretty small when we first started, to be the largest wine event in Southern California. So
wow.
It's a lot of fun.
So what other people are there? I mean, it's a big, huge festival. Where exactly does that take place?
Oh, it takes place at the historic movie studios, Raleigh Studios. It's right across the street from Paramount. And I used to live right in that area, and it's a gorgeous historic space. And there's probably going to be about, maybe 400 different wines to taste. And then there's spirits and food trucks and all kinds of wine paraphernalia. I think about 4,000 people go each day of the weekend. And then I have my separate class, which is an additional charge. And it's really fun because a lot of the same people come year after year. So, you know, we've all become kind of friends and, you know, laugh about life. And then I teach something new each year about cheese and wine pairing.
Wow. Now, this is very different than your earlier career, Chapter 1. So before we talk too much about Chapter 2, which we will get into and dive into here, tell us, what was your earlier life like? You were working in offices and doing the office grind and working in the advertising field. What was that like? Were you doing that on the West Coast?
Well, I started in New York and worked in New York and Los Angeles in major advertising agencies. And, you know, I started from the very bottom, you know, kind of below the mailroom. I started as a runner, and I would run things to people, and they would sign it. But I got to know everybody and know what I was bringing and, you know, just kind of worked my way up from there in the days when, people would say, you know, we do not put women in the training programs, and, you know, you will never get that job because you're a woman. And, you know, I just sort of broke through it.
Wow. So it was somewhat like the TV show Mad Men. It was, do you relate when you watch that show?
I do, actually. It was a little different, but it was because I ended up working just by chance at really the most creative agency in the world, Doyle Dane Burnback, and they did all the famous Volkswagen commercials and Alka-Seltzer, and, you know, these are things that are in the museums and everything now. And I think the Mad Men's a little bit more conservative in terms of the scene there, except for socially.
Yeah. So, okay, so you were in New York. You were working in, and you worked your way into an advertising accountant executive job, and what was your big transition point? I mean, we talk a lot with guests on my program who have overcome obstacles, have overcome challenges, whether it's been illness or, in my case, a car crash or, mm-hmm. you know, different things that interrupt our plan that we don't see coming. So what was your big moment of having to rebuild from the ashes? What happened?
Well, you know, I really had wanted to be a teacher. And I got my degree in college for elementary education, which has certainly helped me dealing with my clients in advertising to now being a teacher in cheese and wine and spirits. But personally, it was, I really didn't want to end up like my mom. She was very, very intelligent and married and, you know, never had a career. And then when the divorce happened, she was sunk. It was really, really, really difficult. And so I was, you know, you said you persevere and everything through it. Well, I was determined to get ahead. And I was so determined. Frankly, I would take stuff off my boss's desk, bring it home, do the work at home, and bring it back and put it back on their desk. And, I mean, that's how serious I was about being able to support myself financially.
And I chuckle because I totally relate. And I too was raised by a mother who got divorced after 25 years of marriage and had to go back and start, you know, in the job market in retail initially and then worked her way into getting an office job. But And worked up until age 77, and then only had 6 months to live. After she retired at 77, she had about, you know, 6 or 7 months and then was killed in a car crash. So, you know, I definitely don't want to be that person either, sitting at the desk and then having a few months to enjoy life. So what? So you saw this in your mom, and you determined to do your best to succeed financially in a man's world. And then how did you leave sort of a 9-to-5 routine and strike out and become an entrepreneur?
Well, I was really lucky in advertising. You know, as I moved ahead, particularly in those days, you were really, it was part of your job to entertain your clients. And so I was able to drink fine wines and eat fine foods, and I had to learn a lot. I had to learn about single malt Scotch whiskeys. I had to learn about cognacs and armagnacs, and you know all of that, so I could order properly for my clients and that kind of thing. And I joined an organization, Slow Food. It's an organization out of Italy that was really, and it's now quite large organization. That was really involved in helping the small family producers of all kind of foods from all over the planet, rather than the big corporate players These were people who were growing really special, really tasty, delicious, nutritious food for us. And I would always support what they do, as you know, because you support so much with what you do in your world. I wanted to support them financially, so I would always go to their fundraisers. And I took an advertising client to one of their fundraisers, and it was a cheese tasting. And I tasted this one cheese. It's from rural Wisconsin in the rolling, beautiful hills there of pasture lands. It's a cow's milk cheese, Alpine style. It's called Pleasant Ridge Reserve by Uplands Cheese Company. They're very small. And I tasted this one cheese. I frankly had never tasted anything like it. And we were really focusing on the cheese, so I was very attentive to what was happening in my mouth and the smell. You know, 80% of taste is smell, so smelling away. And I fell in love. I mean, I fell in love with the whole thing, the small family cheesemaker, the romance of that, the flavors of the cheeses. And really, Cupid's arrow hit me. And I just fell in love. So I started reading everything. I have a quite significant library of cheese books and wine books and spirits books and beer books. And I've read all of them. And, you know, anytime my friends wanted to be around me, they had to talk about cheese and go to cheese classes and go to cheese tastings. And I traveled the world on my vacations from advertising and hiked up hills in the rain to go visit small cheesemakers in Italy. And it was really cool. And it was, you know, frankly, a manic hobby. And I never considered that there was an opportunity to, you know, live on something that you're passionate about. Not that I didn't love advertising, but I wasn't like over the top in love with it. You know, it was a job. You know, it was a good job, and I was interested, and it was creative. Went to the cheese conference. I joined the American Cheese Society, and I was probably the only person who was not in the business. And I kind of looked around and said, hey, what's not being done that needs to be done that could help these small cheesemakers? And I said, sometimes you can see stuff. And I just saw that these cheeses should be in the supermarkets. They should be available to everybody because people were beginning in our country. I could see the trend of more flavorful foods and more interest in where your food comes from. It was just beginning, but I saw it blooming. And so I came back, and I lived in Hollywood, and I was thinking, well, what's not being done? Well, popular culture and celebrity. So started at the top. It just is a lark, really. I pitched the Oscars to be in their famous and final goodie bag. I suggested that I would give as my gift an artisanal cheese and wine pairing adventure in the star's home for them and their friends. Lo and behold, they chose me, and all of a sudden, I'm in the media. Now, when I was in advertising, my clients were in the media. My clients were in front. I was behind the scenes. I never was photographed, always made sure it was them. And here I am in USA Today and on radio, and all this stuff is happening, the cheesiest gift in Hollywood history. And I thought, hey, you know, this is what every, you know, brand would want. It's like all of a sudden people know about me. And I had no intention of that happening, but it happened. And I decided to quit my career that I had had for many decades and see what I could do. And, you know, my father was crying. You know, I had no sugar daddy. It was just me. Anything, you know, all my bills were paid by me. And my father was crying. My mother was hysterical. They were really worried about me because I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just know that this feels right. My intuition, I just decided to ride my intuition, Brenda. You know,
I love that.
Knew it was right. I didn't know what was going to happen. And I figured, hey, the worst that can happen is I'll have to get a few other jobs to make up for this, you know? And,
well, I love that. You touched on several points. And, I mean, you got your lucky break, but let's
be realistic. You were smart enough to contact the Oscars about being in that gift bag. So clarify for me, every single gift bag got this offer of a cheese party?
Yes,
or
yes. I had to do 125 of them. It was to presenters, winners, and nominees, and a few of the high-end executives behind the scenes. And so I had to commit to do that.
So this gift certificate, it was actually just a piece of paper, or was
yeah.
it an actual cheese sample? So this
it was a beautifully, hand letter pressed gift certificate in an envelope.
Okay,
and,
so a very impressive delivery system. It wasn't just a flyer. It was a very impressive.
Yes. It was all handmade, each one.
And they actually opened it and read it. And so then who were some of the people that you got calls from?
Well, I couldn't wait for someone to call because I know the celebrity scene. And they take
right.
forever, and they always call you at the last minute for anything. And
right.
I thought, well, you know, now I really don't have any income. And
yeah.
I stopped my career. What am I going to do? And I figured I've got to keep this going and keep the sort of spotlight going. And so I watched the Oscars, and my friends had given me a party, and we were all watching the Oscars together. And my niece and her husband were there, and, you know, many friends. And I'm sitting there in front of the TV taking notes, and they're saying, come on, have some champagne, you know, let's have fun. And I was all serious because I had to figure out what to do because I needed to engineer my first one.
Right.
I couldn't wait. So
right.
I thought, hey, you know, Steve Martin, he's so cute. And he dances. I always wanted to meet him. And I thought, oh, wouldn't that be fun? I'll do one for him. And then I kind of thought, well, it's not that media interest. There's nothing unusual about it. It's kind of an expected thing. And I went, oh, what am I going to do? And I all of a sudden, they gave the Oscar for Best Song. And it was the rap group, 3-6 Mafia, won the Best Song for the song It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp from the movie Hustle and Flow. And they
okay.
were so happy and darling. People fell in love with them. And they were on all the night talk shows, and they're very funny. And I thought, I'm going to try to get them. Because I thought the clash of cultures would be interesting. So I called Sony, their record company, and they said they were in. I called Variety magazine, and they said they were in. And I called a chef friend of mine, Chef Norman Van Aken, who had a gorgeous restaurant in Hollywood, and he gave me the restaurant for free.
Oh, my God.
And I bought a bunch of cheese. My girlfriends were my cheesettes. My cousin was the photographer. I even brought my mom because I was worried that 3-6 Mafia would be mean to me because I never met a rapper or heard a rap song ever. I just knew it was right. My intuition spoke to me.
So you
and it ended
intuition.
Up they were on time with open arms, hugging, loving, wonderful people who love food. We still hang out together. I am a 66-year-old woman who's hanging with rappers.
I love it. So, but you were resourceful. You got engaged and enrolled your friends and family, which tells me you're a good enroller. You were passionate and excited, which was infectious. That spread over to your friends and family. You had some credibility and reputation with the restaurant owner, so you were able to get the restaurant. And then what did you actually provide? So you had the gentlemen come, and their friends and family, or just did
oh,
you
it was a big one. Like about six or seven executives from New York, from Sony, flew out. Of course, the 3-6 Mafia traveled with an entourage, so there was people I've never heard. And
and what you actually offered them was come to this restaurant at this date and time and enjoy these exquisite cheeses and wines? Is that
yeah, cheeses and wine. So I had put together a team. What?
Did you get the wine donated?
Oh yeah. I before I gave the gift did the pitch to the Oscars, I put together a team of people. I had met a woman at the cheese conference, was the only person I really met. She's a, you know, longtime cheesemaker. I called her, told her what I was doing, and she said, "We're in. I'll help you put together the rest of the cheesemakers," because I didn't know anybody. So that was done. And then I called a friend of mine from Napa that I did a few favors for from a long time ago. She said, "No problem. I'll put together a team of family winemakers who will support you." And they just trusted me. And they just said, "We'll just all ride with this." I didn't charge them anything.
Wow.
But, you know, I needed some help.
And it's like a huge exposure for them, too. It was a win-win for everybody.
Oh, but nobody knew it was going to happen. I made no promises. I said, "Who knows?"
Right.
You know?
Right.
We just don't know.
I love that you put a team around you, and Lisa Nichols was talking about that recently in San Diego, the importance of having a team around you that are all experts at what they do. Instead of trying to be the expert, be the expert at one thing and then rely on these other experts to come together and play together, but to really invite them in. And I think that is so key, that I think so many entrepreneurs try to go it alone.
And
there's no way one person can be excellent at, say, technology and sales and marketing and business strategy.
Right.
And in your case, the wines, the cheeses, the celebrities, all of it. You were the visionary to see the actual, what the potential for the event could be, because we had done so many product rollouts and events for products that you've represented in brands. And you understand the importance of brand association. So I think this is really interesting on so many levels, because you brought together the right people, you brought together the right audience, and then you created this co-branding opportunity. And I love the fact that you are lifting up these small cheesemakers, that you're bringing attention to them. It's a lost art, it's a lost craft in Europe. It's highly revered. I mean, I was raised by a French mother that, you know, cheese was, you know, very sacred. You know, it's been always the thing, one of the things I loved the most, and hard to limit myself as I'm trying to, you know, watch my weight. But I love to support those local family businesses, and which is what you're doing. And it is. You saw the trend ahead of time. And now it's huge, the desire to deal with organic farmers and family-owned business, and it's very high-end boutique kind of mentality. I love it. So, what actions did you take to continue to build your brand? That was a big success out of the chute. So, how did you maintain momentum?
Well, one day my niece called me. This is actually before the first Oscars event, and said, "Barry Lynn, I just did your whole website." I didn't know how to do websites. I knew how to do marketing and thinking about things, and I had a team that did websites, but I didn't know how to do it myself. So my darling niece, Daphna, did my entire website and continues to do so. She's you reach out and you ask and you give. I mean, that's part of the key, is to give without any fear. I was at an event one night. I was doing cheese, and I was at Luxury Marketing Council, and you know, it was pretty cool, and I was there serving cheese and pairing it up with wines and talking to people. And this pretty large man came over to me and introduced himself as Ray Pearson. And, you know, we were talking, and he told me he was a brand ambassador for Glenfiddich Single Malt Scotch Whiskey, the largest single malt Scotch whiskey on the planet and still family-owned. And I said, "Oh, I've got so many ideas for you." And I just started spouting out ideas of what he could do. You know, take this single malt and put it with this cheese and take this. I wasn't holding anything back to say, "Oh, well, maybe he'll hire me or something." You know, I kind of thought that, but I just figured I'd just give it out. What the heck, you know? Well, I ended up working for Ray for 2 years, traveling all over the country, setting up really cool events with sports teams and all these other people all over the country, and I would set up the event. I would publicize it. I would be the cheese expert with him as we took people through a cheese tasting and a single malt Scotch whiskey tasting, and we are still great friends. He retired 2 years after that. So,
wow. Now, I love that because I'm often saying that, give first. Give first,
yeah.
Because when
yeah.
you give first, it opens up the relationship to a whole new level. And so many times people go into a potential new business relationship. What can you do for me? Here's what I do. I do this. And they don't think of the other person's needs first. And it's really important to tap into the self-interest of the other person first. And I've taught this with nonprofit fundraising, to tap into your donor's self-interest first before
mm-hmm.
asking them to support your organization. But I think if you give first and give without fear, I love
right.
that, that, you know, nothing but good can come from that.
Totally. I didn't expect anything back. I mean, really. I mean, he literally called me the next day and said, let's go.
Right. You didn't do it as a strategy, but you did it because
it happened,
was organically
though.
Natural for you. Yeah.
And then when he retired, you know, he didn't know what he was going to do, and I taught him about how to be a writer and how to take what he knew into writing, and now he's known as the Whiskey Meister. He's still doing events, and he has a fabulous set of columns that he's doing all over the world, and he's got a very robust website, and I kind of taught him then, you know, back with, you know, as just as a friend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the industry. Is it growing? Are there more cheesemakers now throughout the country? And what state produces the most cheese in the United States?
Well, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Totally. Wisconsin has a full circle program where the universities and the research centers and all this that really help the cheesemakers excel. So there's a plethora of family farms and family cheesemakers. In Wisconsin, this is the stuff I love because I love the individual people behind things, not a big fat person smoking a cigar, pushing a button, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the average number of cows on a farm in Wisconsin is 55. You know, so they're family farms, and that's something I'm interested in. Like the independent bookstores are something I'm really interested in, and sadly, you know, they're going down. But
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So on these smaller farms, are the cows fed better, you know, grass versus grain and non-GMO? And you hear a lot of talk about GMO stuff.
Yeah, it depends on the farmer, but you know, because of the there's so much land there, the cows can go out, and in the winter they can't, so they're eating winter feed in the winter. But they're eating the lush grasses and herbs and flowers, and you know, it makes a delicious cheese. Not that there isn't delicious cheese all over the world, but you asked about the growth. And in the beginning, when I first went to the cheese conference and saw, I actually saw it in my brain that these cheeses would be in the cheese counters at supermarkets. Well, they are now. I mean, it's just so cool that I can get in my car and go to a, you know, big supermarket chain, and there they are. You know, the Sartori's family, Espresso Bellavitano is there. You know, Joe Widmer's four-year cheddar is there. It is so cool that I can just go, because before I used to have to order them and pay all the shipping and everything.
Mm-hmm. And I would think the cost of cheese is directly proportional to the cost of transportation, right, to get that cheese from the farm where it's made to the consumer?
Well, it depends on, you know, there's the distributors have really taken a real interest in these family cheesemakers. And so the cost of shipping, they're already going places. So they just load up those cheeses onto
mm-hmm.
the trucks, onto the refrigerated trucks or whatever.
So outside of the big events like this LA event that you're doing, what are some local events you're doing in the greater St. Louis area? And I know you've only been here a couple of years, but what
No,
are
I've only been here a year.
A year, okay.
Oh, yeah. I'm a newbie.
So, yeah, and I know what that's like. I was a newbie 9 years ago. So,
yeah.
Are you looking for more opportunities to partner with restaurants and or nonprofit organizations? I mean, what
oh,
would you
definitely.
Like to happen here?
Yes, mm-hmm. definitely. I just don't know very many people. I mean, you're one of the few people I know, Brenda. When I first arrived, I really wanted to do an event, and so I right down the street from me is the Wine and Cheese Place, and they have several locations in a classroom setting at one of their stores. And I created an artisanal cheese and dark sipping rum pairing adventure class, and it sold out. It was a total blast. It was really fun. So I'm looking to do more of those as I – you know, get more settled, and, you know, I do travel quite a bit, so, and then I'm writing, and, you know, you kind of have to work 7 days a week, but, you know, thank goodness I love what I do, because, man, I have never worked harder and never worked longer.
Yeah, that's the life of the entrepreneur, correct? And,
yeah.
And so with technology, you mentioned you're doing more blogging. Where can people find your blog?
Well, now, I don't blog. I guest blog. I don't have a blog,
okay.
But I have a, you know,
okay.
pretty, you know, robust website, and anybody can email me anytime. I get cheese questions from so many people. I'm having some people over. What should I do, you know? And
right.
So I love answering questions. I just turned a woman on. She was looking for a special cheese, and she was actually coming in from Italy, but coming into the United States. And, you know, I gave her some suggestions. She ended up buying this amazing cheese. It's brand new by my mentor, fifth-generation cheesemaker Sid Cook. And he has a, you know, double cream cheeses and triple cream cheeses. And he did a penta cream, five cream blue cheese out of rural Wisconsin that is just stunning. It's drop dead. And so, you know, I love finding the new stuff and what's going on and turning people onto it.
Wow. Well, we're going to take a short break. It's that time of the program that we take a short station identification and public service announcement. We'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Stay with us. We're talking with Barry Lynn, who is a former advertising executive who turned to her passion for artisanal cheeses, and it's known internationally as the cheese impresario. Help me out, Barry. How do you say that?
Impresario.
Impresario, the cheese impresario. We'll be right back with Barry. Stay with us. You're listening to Alive to Thrive.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Yo, what's up? This is the Black Eyed Peas, and we're here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Music is one of the most important things in our lives, but nothing is more important than life itself. When you drink and drive, you're risking the life of yourself and the lives of everybody on the road. Don't plan to drive, just plan ahead.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Alive to Thrive. with Brenda Fraser on GGM. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Alive to Thrive. My name is Brenda Fraser. My guest today is Barry Lynn. We're having such a fun conversation about cheeses and branding and launching a business based on your passion. We do have a caller on hold. I'm going to just click over and see if they have a question for our guest today. We'll see if that's a question or if they're just listening in. Caller, go ahead. Do you have a question for our guest?
Is this the Traveling Angel Show or something like that?
No, this is Alive to Thrive. Okay, thank you. So we have listeners from all over the country. We do encourage people to call in if they have a question for our guest or post questions on facebook.com/Alive to Thrive. And certainly if you want to suggest a guest, we love your feedback. You can also put it on the Facebook page for Greater Good Ministries, ggmradio.com. So, Barry, we were talking about events and local events and things you love to do. And one thing that really impressed me about you and your philosophy of giving first and giving without fear is your support of the nonprofit community, which is one of my passions, and helping businesses give back to nonprofits. So what's your passion in that regard, and what are some of the nonprofit organizations you've helped in the past?
Well, I've always supported in Los Angeles the Santa Monica Farmers Market that was the farmers market that, you know, really kind of started it all in that area. And so anytime they would do a fundraiser, I would give a gift certificate. But I think it's, you know, you have to be careful because at some point you're going to go broke because I pay for everything myself, you know. But I you know, like you had asked me for some of your clients, and when I heard their mission, I just, you know, really couldn't say no. I mean, you want to help organizations that help people, that actually do things. And, you know, I'm not like a big Red Cross person, sorry to say that for those out there, because the Red Cross does important work, but I choose the more, you know, more like the cheese makers and farmers that I love, the more smaller, direct people, so that work with women's issues and children's issues.
Children's issues and women's issues and domestic
animals,
violence and
you know, that kind of thing.
Right. And I think I've done a lot of work in my career. I actually have worked for the Red Cross and the American Cancer Society, as well as the smaller nonprofits. And there is a joy working with the small groups because you see a direct impact quicker. I mean, they have a lower cost of fundraising and a lower overhead.
Exactly.
You see the impact very directly. And
exactly. Not that in my past I have not given or done something for this, but I prefer a more direct, by degree smaller.
Right. And so, and there, you have also in some of your press coverage, you've worked with NFL football star Sean Phillips, and he is very committed to helping kids.
Yeah.
And has an after school program for kids. So, can you talk a little bit about that experience working with Sean Phillips?
Oh, totally. Well, it was just, I mean, I really have never met a football player either, you know, never met a rapper, never met a football player. It's just, you know, wasn't where I lived in my life. And I was at a party, small party, and I brought some cheese, and I met a new person there through one of my friends, and she said, oh, you've got to meet my friend Sean Phillips, the football player. He loves cheese. So she connected me with Sean. I ended up finding out that he you know, got his degree from Purdue in hotel and restaurant management and did his major paper to graduate on his favorite food, cheese. He keeps a cheese log. He's a real serious cheese lover. So I invited him over and had him over. He and his brother came over to my rooftop, and you know, we had some wine, and I taught him about, you know, how to really think about it and how to keep his cheese log better. And we became friends, and did a lot of work, and then I would go down to his events for After School All-Stars to San Diego, and I'd serve cheese and give a, you know, get some of my friends to give giant bottles of beer, you know, the giant ones that are like up to your shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to help his charity, and then he helped me when I reached out to him when I ended up doing an internet show for Small Screen Network, and you can just Google the name of the show to get all kinds of information. It's called Cheese Rules with host Barry Lynn, the cheese impresario. And Sean, at his own expense, flew up to Seattle, where the studio was, stayed overnight, you know, and we did three shows together. And one of them, we made my famous grilled cheese sandwich that won an award at the Grilled Cheese Invitational, and we ended up pairing it with a nice Manhattan cocktail. And
oh,
it was
wow.
really fun. And so Sean and I do, you know, do as much as we can together, because it's just so much fun to be with him, and I've gotten friends with many of his giant football player friends too.
Wow, that is so neat. And I want to make sure that people know to read about some of these fun stories on your website. You have some great articles there and gallery and information about your cheese adventures, and that's www.impresario.com. And so go to Barry's website and check out some of the a lot of great content there, Barry. And your blog, is that also on your website, or is that a
Well, I
address?
Don't really do a blog anymore. What I did do was up there.
Okay.
I more do guest blogs. Like some of my friends are big culinary bloggers, and they'll ask me like once a quarter to come in and do a guest blog. So that's more my interest now.
Fantastic. So guest blogs and certainly expertise in this area. So if you're looking for expertise or a speaker, have you spoken at some of the food and fair?
Oh, definitely. I go and speak at culinary festivals and at private events. I speak at with attorney groups on, you know, the thinking about, you know, how to treat your customers, how to get customers with generosity and, again, giving without fear kind of thing. And just, you know, sort of the thinking strategically about how you're doing things. I mean, without mm-hmm. my background in advertising, I don't think I would have thought to do the Oscars, to pitch the Oscars, or even thought about looking at the market to see what wasn't being done and where I could help. And,
I think that's key. Look at the market and see what's not being done. That's something Lisa talked about this past weekend, too, is where is there a gap? Where is there
yeah.
a need that's not being served? And find that need that ties into something you love to do and then fill that need, fill that gap. That's really key. Now, Moore Magazine, how did they find you? They did an article on your reinvention and included you in their TV special. Tell us about that. What was that like?
Okay, well, Moore Magazine, I think, for me, it's just the most interesting, intelligent women's magazine. It's so good. And I knew that they had been focusing on some of their editorial on reinvention. Before the economy crashed, they used to have a big reinvention convention. And I was just always interested in that part because, you know, I certainly reinvented myself. And so I sent in a pitch, really. And then, you know, maybe like a year later, the editor calls me and said, hey, you know, we'd really like to do something on you. And we just ended up working together. It was quite a bit of work because I produce everything I do myself. So, you know, when they said, well, we want to get a photograph, I had to think of where would be visual, where could we get in for no charge, you know, all of that kind of stuff, and that would be visually interesting. So we chose my friend Bruce Workman's creamery, and he is the only person on the planet or in our country to make authentic 180-pound wheels of Emmentaler. So if you go to my website, I don't think it's on there, actually. But Moore Magazine, you could Google Moore Magazine and the Cheese Impresario, and it'll come up. And the photograph turned out really good. And then they said, hey, you know, you've done some shows, and we like the way, you know, the way you present yourself on film, and would you want to be in our TV special? We're going to choose you as one of the top 10 women in the country to reinvent herself. And I said, sure. And then we needed a location. So I called one of my clients, private clients in L.A., who has a gorgeous home, and I actually met her through a gift certificate from the Santa Monica Farmers Market ages ago, and I've been working for her and her husband and his law firm ever since. She gave me her whole home to shoot.
Wow.
So we were able to shoot in a beautiful location, and I had my friends come over, and we rocked out while they were filming me doing an artisanal cheese and wine pairing adventure for my friends.
Wow, very cool. So I love your saying, too, cheese is the new black. What does that mean? Obviously, you're not going to wear cheese. Maybe Lady Gaga.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, black is considered chic, you know, and people in New York always wear black. And I thought it was always so funny, you know. And one day it just popped out. I just went, hey, cheese is the new black, kind of a tongue-in-cheek. You know, because it I knew it was going to become cool, you know, like cool to want to learn about cheese and cool to eat cheese and cool to serve cheese to your friends and all that stuff. I could kind of know. So it's a really tongue-in-cheek tagline.
That's cute. I love it. I love it. So we're wrapping up in the next 5 to 10 minutes. What else are you working on? Are you thinking about writing a book? You know, you certainly have plenty to write a book or an e-book. Have you thought about that?
Yes, I was working on a book with Sean Phillips, and then he just got too busy with football, and because we were going to do it together, and so that concept is still out there. I mean, I wrote the outline and, you know, wrote some copy for it and everything. So I'll probably switch gears and, you know, not do it with him because he just went to Denver for his next part of his career from San Diego. So this is his first season in Denver. So he's going to keep his nose to the grindstone. So I am going to be working on a book. Yep.
Cool.
I mean, I've got it laid out and everything and the ideas, and that's sometimes the hardest part.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Now I just have to do it.
Yeah. The mechanics really fall into place once you have the clear vision and what you want to talk about. So will it be called Cheese Rules?
I don't think so. I don't know what it's going to be called. I mean, my title was Sean because he's a linebacker, so he tackles the quarterback, was How to Tackle the Cheese Highway. With NFL star Sean Phillips and Barry Lynn, the cheese impresario. So who knows?
Yeah, like
you never know.
How to tackle cheese, yeah. Oh, my goodness. And what do you see? Are there any things happening in the industry that concerns you? I mean, practices or chemicals or things that are of a health concern?
Not really. No, I think my interest really is in the positive and,
mm-hmm.
And you know, who's doing new stuff and what small cheesemakers have gotten huge recognition from working really hard and working really creatively. A friend of mine, Marika Penterman from Holland's Family Farm, She just won the top honors at the World Cheese Championship contest, over 1,700 cheeses. And she's a small cheesemaker. She makes amazing Gouda, all different flavors, and it's just stunning cheese. She makes a raw milk Gouda. And, you know, she beat out all the companies from all over the world. And that's the kind of thing that turns me on, you know, to watch her thrive and be able to do her thing with, you know, making great cheese.
Cool. Cool. Well, this has been so much fun, and I know we're going to be playing together and doing lots of different types of events and creating some new events here in the Midwest and certainly bringing some of that wonderful West Coast culinary flavor and culinary interest from the West Coast to the Midwest. And certainly Missouri has a wine country that's very up and coming. I actually
moved
out here about 20 different wineries in the Defiance Augusta area. And there's lots of opportunity for events in this area, and certainly to gather people together in a happy atmosphere where they're doing something, they're learning something new, they're experiencing something that's great for the palate, sight, sound, and taste, and so we'll be creating some new things. So stay tuned for that. Any closing thoughts? So I just wanted to ask you, who inspires you? You know, it's really hard for entrepreneurial women that are doing, as you said, doing it all themselves. How do you keep motivated, and who do you surround yourself with to lift you up and cheer you on?
Well, I mean, my friends and family have really been important. You know, if I'm, you know, I certainly wake up in the middle of the night, Brenda, and go, oh, my goodness, how am I going to live, you know? Because it's not easy. I mean, you do have to continually work and continually reinvent yourself and think up new ideas and then execute them and everything. And so I think friends and family are really important. But the cheesemakers, you know, when something happens and, you know, a spotlight's been shined on, let's say, you know, Joe Widmer or something, and he calls me up and goes, that was just so great. Thanks a lot for supporting me, you know. That turns me on and really pushes me forward to think of new ways to move them into the world. I went to Nashville recently, was brought down there. I was hired to go down and do an artisanal cheese and Tennessee whiskey pairing adventure for 200 journalists. And it was just fantastic, and I chose all small cheesemakers. And, man, so much happened from it. I couldn't believe it. So, you know, that's part of the motivation is, you know, the cheesemakers and their cheeses that I love.
Well, and it's niche marketing, and it's marketing on a very specific, highly focused, highly targeted way. Mm-hmm. And that is always effective. And I think there is a greater trend going in that direction. People are not interested in the box stores anymore. They are soulless places and so big that half the time you can't find anything, even if the prices are better. It's such an impersonal experience than going into a market where they know your name, they know your favorite X, Y, or Z, how you want your meat cut, how you want your cheese cut, and the different things. So I think people long for that connection and long for a community where people do know your name when you go in to make a purchase and to get educated in the process to have a little talk about the product while you're there. So
when they hear, you know, when I'm doing an event or something, I always make a cheese scroll with all the information about the cheesemaker and the cheese that I'm serving, and I give it to people, and they can take it home and take it to the store with them when they go shopping. And so when they go shopping, you know, they're looking, and they go, oh, yeah, there's, you know, Bruce Maniszewski or, you know, whatever. They can personify what they're eating. And there's a real person behind it who cares. That's, to me, a key thing.
Wow. Well, thank you, Barry. You are definitely a woman that cares about her vendor relationships, her friends, and the community. So thanks again, and we look forward to hearing from you as things develop here in the Midwest and as you go to L.A. and come back and tell us how that was. So thank you again, and have a great weekend.
It was a pure pleasure, Brenda. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Bye. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.